session number 30617.
Mr. John Morton, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about the damage to the Deansgate showroom. So there's no chance of reopening it then?
Not at all, no. It's complete. As I say, the whole... you just had to see it to believe it, all these expensive cars completely wrecked, and we had to set about trying to clear up what we could. And it was then that Mr. Parker decided that we'd move out to Bolton.
Now, that was a difficult journey. What were the difficulties? I mean, was transport difficult in those days?
Not particularly, no.
I mean with the bombing?
That's amazing, really, how the fire service and how they set about clearing up. It was only a matter of days before things were working again. And so I would get to the station in the city by tram in those days, and the train service was quite good, yeah.
So what happened next then?
Well, as I say, I carried on with Parker's, and until I felt, hey, hold on, there's chaps out there, they're fighting for the country, you know, and here I am, you know, what am I going to do about
it? Were you in a reserved occupation then?
Exactly, yeah, how you fit it, yes.
Because they were doing military contracts?
Yeah. And I didn't find this out, that this was the reason I wasn't being called. So when I approached the boss's secretary, she said, I shouldn't tell you this, but Mr. Parker has been writing to tell them that he can't let me go, that I'm in a reserve occupation. So as a result of this, there was a call out on the radio for artificers in the Royal Navy for the motor torpedo boats. As a result of this, I went along to volunteer for this at Dover Street in Manchester, because I thought, well, this is something that I could do. You had to have knowledge of engines. And how I went along to Dover Street and met this rather decorated chief petty officer, who said, well, lad, he said, I can see that you're wanting to do something for your country. He said, but we can't take you. You're in a reserved occupation. He said, but if you want to get round that one, he said, I would suggest that you go down to the end of the corridor and volunteer for RAF air crew. He said, in that way, you would be able to get in. So this is what I did. I went down end of the corridor, volunteered for the RAF.
And this was when? Well, we've got dates, probably. This would be, it was before May. You went to May to the aircrew reception centre. So when would this be that you actually volunteered?
This would be in early 42, I would think.
Early 42?
Yeah. Yes, because I went for attestation.
Now, what happened when you went to volunteer? Did they take, I mean, didn't they test you? Or don't they do a lot of tests? Or what happened?
No. At that point, that was purely and simply take name, address, etc. And questionnaire on education, etc., and general fitness, just took your word for it. And then I was called to Blackpool for examination, educational exams, very thorough medical exam.
Now, what were these tests and the medical like?
They were very.
What was the Blackpool establishment called?
That was called. You went there for attestation. Now, what was it called?
Well, if we just call it the reception centre, that's fine for the minute. We know where it is. I mean, so it's a Blackpool.
I'm sure you've heard of this before.
And what happens there?
Well, there you're taken through maths tests, general knowledge tests, reasonable English, and then we were also put on to test our reactions and colour and test for colour blindness. And also, I found the most difficult thing was to go into a room on your own, and the three officers, you asked to sit down in front of them, and you've got an officer right in the centre, and he's asking you questions, and on various knowledge and why do you want to fly and all the rest of it. And I noticed that the other two officers on the left and right of him were observing your reactions, which was my first encounter with that sort of thing, you know. So that I found was I wouldn't say unnerving, because I wasn't that sort of person. I had the confidence in myself when I was that age, and but it was still, and it was all about them having to select, whether you were suitable for the RAF. So that,
and you were accepted,
and so I was accepted.
Now, what was the attestation there?
So the attestation is the swearing in that you would, serve the country. And I always remembered had to serve the king in those days, and also flying aircraft in any condition. That was a thing I felt a bit nervous about.
And do you remember when this was?
And then I received, I think, a half a crown for it.
And this was 1942? Do you know when?
It would be early.
Still early 42.
Yeah, it would be early. Oh, no, just a minute now. We're coming up to... I haven't got that recorded in there.
No, you're called up in 1943.
Yeah, I've got the actual dates here. Can you just...
Yeah, we've just looked, and it's you're called up. That takes place at the Air Crew Selection Board.
Selection Board,
and that's you're accepted on the 9th of July 1942.
So yeah,
that seems great.
Yeah.
We've got that clear. So what happened then? Because you're not called up for another year, really.
No, because you'll see there that it's due to completion of education.
Right.
Because I was going to technical college then.
So you're at the Air Crew Selection Board.
And they don't mention a reserved occupation, but that's what I feel was really holding me back.
Now, so anything else happened in that last year then?
Yeah, the RAF sent me to the local grammar school in the evenings for 3 nights.
Now, what was that about?
Well, that was to bring me up to a school cert standard, really. That was.
And this was arranged by the RAF?
That was arranged with the RAF, yeah.
Now, so what do you remember about that? What type of lessons were there?
Well, they were sort of mainly mathematics, and. I was pretty good at it, really, anyhow, but it was all matter of keeping me up to standard, really, that was. And I think they did a bit of elementary navigation as well, from what I remember. But mainly it was keeping me up trim with mathematics, really.
Now, so anything else before the your call-up? Because your call-up your call-up comes much later in May 43.
Yeah.
Anything? So that's it until May 43, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
You're just waiting. Nothing else? Much
yeah, more. So I was officially accepted in the RAF, really, in the 42, you know.
So what happens next then? Is it the call-up?
It's the call-up now, yeah.
Now, what was the call-up procedure?
Well, the call-up procedure was receiving a letter to report to the Lord's Cricket Ground on that particular date.
Well,
which happened to
May
be
the 31st.
Happened to be my 21st, 2 days after my 21st birthday. So that's it. So I reported down there.
So this is the Aircrew Reception Centre at St John's Wood, which is Lord's Cricket Ground. It's
that's right, yeah.
Now, what was your reception like there? Do you know what I mean? Because you're arriving, I know you've been in the Home Guard, but you're pretty well a civilian. What happens when you get there?
Well, when I arrived there in civilian clothes, and I had been to London on school trips, but it was all rather awesome and overpowering to be left on Euston Station there in the early hours of the morning, because I'd travelled from Manchester the night on the midnight train. And I remember wending my way, I can't really remember how I got to Lord's Cricket Ground when I think about it, and we were all shuffled into there, and at that particular point we're given sort of uniform. And
do you remember what uniform you got?
We
what uniform, what kit and uniform you got at that point?
Yeah, well, we got the uniform, underwear, boots, socks, and just the essential things. And I was always remember having to carry this, because what I didn't realise is that I should have taken a suitcase, but I didn't. So some of the more enlightened lads, you know, especially the southerners, I have to say, they come equipped with suitcases. So there was I shuffling along from the Lord's Ground to St John's Wood, where we were billeted in these flats overlooking Regent's Park, St John's Wood, I think they were called, yeah.
And what were the flats like?
Well, the flats were very, very austere. They'd been stripped out and all reinforced inside, like air raid shelters. And there's no furniture apart from a bed. And apart from the very nice view overlooking.
Would they normally have been quite expensive flats?
Oh, absolutely. I've been to see them since, and it'd be way beyond my means of living in one now.
And how was there a lot of you to a room? I mean, you know.
No, there wasn't, because they were, as I say, made up into very small reinforced rooms with brickwork, and very, the whole thing was very, very austere.
So what happens next then? You've got your kid, you know where you're living, so what's
yeah,
going
well,
on?
Well, what we do there is we just do general, well, the first thing was, of course, to get into uniform and send your civvies back home by what means you had, and set about doing, oh, that's right. So the next thing was that we had to do another entrance exam, which if we failed we'd be sent home again.
Now what's this like?
General knowledge, always very strong on maths again, and the general standard of education.
And again, you passed. Anything else you're doing?
Well, we were doing drill.
Now, was it any different from the army or just the same?
Well, I would think that I always considered the army was probably a little harder than the RAF discipline. According to my brother, that was in the army. I don't think it was as hard as they train.
So, are you doing anything else to get your vaccinations there?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's we had all these vaccinations, and I believe we went down to Abbey, where the Abbey something in London to have these operations. I think there's a famous picture of the Beatles crossing.
Oh, Abbey Road. Yeah.
Abbey Road, that's it. So, and I always remember that immediately after we'd had the operations, the
vaccinations, you mean?
The vaccinations, it was instilled on us that we had to do some exercise immediately. So I was put down to polishing the floor at the hospital for an hour, which I didn't particularly like. So that was that.
Did you have any after effects?
I did indeed, yes.
What'd you get?
I think I just general effect of feeling unwell. But when you're young, you soon get over that.
So, anything else that happened while you were at Lord's? Not Lord's, St John's Wood anyway, you know, the air crew reception centre. You went there in May, you're there till June, you're not there long, about
no,
a month.
No, as I say, it's just general, you're in the Air Force now and you've got to smarten up a bit and, you know, you're not going to slunk around. And we used to have our meals, that's right, at the Regent's Park Zoo there.
Now, what was the food like? I mean, you know, you're getting used to RAF food. Was it good quality or not?
It was very basic, very basic. From what I can remember, it's we got a lot of this, they called it bubble and squeak and things like that. Nothing you would rave about.
I mean, was there enough of it?
There was enough of it, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and lots of porridge. And that was another thing that I was put off porridge because one night I was put on guard duty at the Regent Park where we fed, and I had occasion to go into the cookhouse, and of course it was in darkness, and there were these huge pans there of porridge. I knew that they were in there, and when I switched on the light, I heard this terrific scurrying, and of course when I realised it was all the thousands of cockroaches on the top of this porridge scampering away, and that put me off porridge for quite a while. So that was that, yeah.
So any bombing of London while you were there?
No bombing, no.
So you were lucky on that one. Now, yeah. Anything else about your time there?
Well, we used to go to the, I think it's called the Stamford Hall, and those are some of the lighter moments when they had dances there and the squadron airs, and I used to love dancing, and
so what was it like there? Is it a dance hall?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's really, really nice. And they had a swimming pool. Oh, and then we used to go swimming in the Serpentine. Would you believe? Open air swimming and do a bit of swimming in there. And I got quite good at getting around London on the tube in general, but no bombing at all, which was. I said to people since. What on earth did he send us down to London for? You know, it seemed quite a silly place to go when all the bombings that they'd had, but it must have tailed off by then.
Now, how did you get on with the other recruits?
Oh, very well indeed, yeah.
Did you make any friends, or what sort of boy were they, or men?
Well, they were very, very mixed, you know, of course. The first friend I made really was a local lad. He must have been up. He was a Londoner, and he was ever so kind. He realised, you know, that I'd come from up north, and he'd take me to his parents' place, you know, and he had a sister there, and. They were very, very nice indeed. They lived over something common there. What would that be?
Oh, it could be anywhere here.
Yeah, there's a common anyhow. But that was the first friend I made. But no, generally speaking, I was coming across boys of much better education than myself. But I felt... quite comfortable, really.
So no bullying at all?
None at all.
And what about the instructors, drill instructors, and the like? How do you get on with them?
Well, at first, not too bad, really. I never felt that there was any bullying done then. I realised that they had to instil discipline, but it was done in a... We were always addressed as cadets, and they never sort of treated us, in fact, rather than inferior, a little more on the superior side, if anything. So, no, I think they had the right balance, really.
Now, you're there till June 25th, 1943.
Yes.
And then you go to number 12... Initial training wing at St Andrews. That's in Fife, I think.
That's correct. Yes, at the college there. Yeah.
Now, what do you remember about that? I mean, this is still you. Are you going for navigator, or are you going for?
No.
What exactly are you going for?
No, I went in on what they call the PNB scheme, pilot, navigator, bomb aimer.
So it hadn't been decided yet.
So it hadn't been decided. No.
So, what do you remember about number 12 initial training with?
So, number 12 was here we go there, and we're very much into getting to know what you were good at. So, we would be doing Morse code, navigation, theory of flight, engines.
Well, let's take each of them and do a bit more. So if we start with signalling and Morse code, yeah. How do you take to Morse code?
I took to it very well.
No difficulties?
Not at all, no.
How did you actually learn it? I mean, you know, what was the method of teaching you?
Well, the method of teaching you was just by the alphabet and also through... these Creed machines that they had, they would be tapping it out at certain speeds. They start off very quite slowly and then quicker, and to me it just came no problems at all with Morse code.
Any other types of signalling?
Yeah, we did the Aldis.
Was that Morse on the Aldis?
That's right, yeah. But
So that's one thing. Now, what's navigation, you said. Now, what about navigation? Tell me about how you...
Well, that was just elementary navigation, that.
Now, what does that mean? What are you learning in elementary navigation?
Well, in elementary, you're learning that all about the compasses, and you learn that magnetic compass and variations. You also get into understand what vectors are all about. In other words, if you're flying on a compass course, that due to various winds and so forth, that you're not really flying on that. You're flying on a TMG, a track made good, and depending on how long you've been flying, what the effects of the winds and dead reckoning, where you should land up. That's
navigation.
And
how do
meteorology, of course. I'm very, very keen on meteorology.
And what are you learning there?
Oh, an awful lot. I mean, but you learn all about the... it's a very...
You're just looking at your manual. And the manual's big. I can see clouds and...
It's a complex system, yeah. So we had to know all about formation of weather, synoptic charts, weather systems, cold fronts, warm fronts, vapor trails, and we had to really, that was another subject I actually loved, I love that subject.
Now, what about theory of flight?
Theory of flight, aircraft parts,
that sort.
Yeah, well, we learn about aerofoil sections and things of this, that you get the maximum lift on the top of the wing and not underneath, and how the engines propel the air over the aerofoil section, and then you learn about the actual engines and.
Did you do things like how ailerons work and what the controls do?
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
you did all that theory stuff together.
That's right.
What about the engine? I mean, the engines would be the thing you've got a bit of a start on.
Well, absolutely, yes. Yeah. So that was something quite new to me. I'd never come across an inverted engine before. So that was, in other words...
What do you mean by inverted?
Well, the cylinders are sort of... the lower end and on that particular model, and then radial engines and so forth.
So although you had a start on engines, these are a different type of engine.
A different type of engine completely, yeah.
So was what you knew of value or?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, the general theory of, four-stroke engines is pretty universal, but it's just a question of the... different methods of producing the power.
Anything else you were learning at 12 ITW? Aircraft recognition. Now, how did they do that?
Well, again, it's flashing visions on screens and having to recognise them in a matter of seconds. So here again, that was something that you could either do or you couldn't do. I think it's all about your actual reactions. I think this is what they wanted, really, with aircrew. The very quick reactions of seeing something, identifying it, and taking the right action. Now, not everybody could do that.
How were you at aircraft recognition?
I was okay, I was all right, not too bad. I think in my records there you'll see I got quite good markings on that sort of thing.